Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today, giving you a brief update on what is going on here in Africa. We're in the rainy season, and so we have our plantings done for now. We've planted maize, we've planted groundnuts or peanuts, we've planted a lot of cowpeas and beans and all of that good stuff, lots of vegetables, radishes, carrots, beets, and the squash. And so now we're digging or cultivating the weeds, as they say. And so that is the project at the children's home. We now have about 35 children. We took in a couple of children just this week, and so we now have about 35 that we are providing for at the children's home. And also at the church, we have a project going up there on the church land, and we are building a potion mill house. That is a maize mill milling operation, and we're going to have a potion mill where people can bring their maize grain and mill it into flour, take it home with them. And we're also going to have a little dukkah or a little store with soap and just necessities that we can sell along with the maize meal. So they'll be selling airtime for their phones and soap and sugar and maybe some loaves of bread, those type of things that people buy and need on a daily basis. So pray about that if you want to contribute and help support those projects. Stay tuned to the end of this broadcast. We'll be giving you contact information and bring you up to date on how you can join in the moving of the kingdom of God forward here in Kenya and across East Africa. So if you have your Bible there today, turn it to 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to start in chapter 2. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the new Christians in the church at Thessalonica. And he is talking to them about the coming of the Lord, about the day of the Lord, the return of the Lord. And so if you have read through the book of 1 Thessalonians and then the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians and now into the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, you know that Paul has made several references to the rapture and the second coming of Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, we may look at that later today. That is a scripture that speaks specifically about the rapture, but Paul is addressing this situation here in 2 Thessalonians because he is wanting to assure the people that they have not missed the second coming of Jesus, because some of them are believing that they have missed the second coming. Some of them believe that Jesus came and they missed it somehow, that he came and left already, and somehow they didn't know about that event or didn't see that event. And you have to understand, these people didn't have the Bible to read. They didn't have a lot of scriptures to pore over and conferences to go to and books on prophecy and end time events. They had none of that stuff. So they were a bit in the dark, and Paul is trying to encourage them and strengthen them and straighten them out on this situation about the second coming of Jesus. So he starts here in verse 1 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. In other words, he's saying that the day of Christ has not come, and so don't be shaken. Don't be thinking that somehow you missed the boat and that Jesus came and left you behind. And so he's saying, don't be troubled either by spirit or in word or in letter, because maybe somebody has sent them a letter. Maybe somebody has already told them that Jesus has come and you didn't make the cut. You didn't make the grade. He didn't come to take you with him. And so they are troubled. They are anxious, and they're wondering what in the world is going on. Well, in verse 3, then he goes on to explain further what is going to take place when Jesus comes back, so that they will know, so that they will understand, and they won't be anxious about his coming. Okay, let no one deceive you by any means. For that day, that is the end day of Jesus coming, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Well, that's a very loaded verse right there. The falling away, what is that word? In Greek, that word is apostasia, A-P-O-S-T-A-S-I-A, apostasia, and it means the departure, the departure. It doesn't mean, as some would think, it doesn't mean the falling away of people falling away from the church in sin or falling away in lack of interest or lack of motivation. It is a word that means apostasy. It means departure. It is best interpreted as departure. And so that day of the Lord will not come unless the departure comes first. And I believe this is a reference to the rapture. I believe it's a bit of a veiled reference to the rapture. The word rapture is not found in the Bible, but that's not that unusual in doctrinal issues. The word Trinity is not found in the Bible either, and other common principles and doctrinal principles of the Bible are not spoken of in a single word or even a phrase sometimes in the Bible. And so it says that the day of the Lord will not come unless the departure, the falling away, the apostasia comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Well, this man of sin, the son of perdition, is the Antichrist, and he is spoken of in the book of Daniel extensively in Daniel chapter 7 and in Daniel chapter 8 and also in Daniel chapter 11. And so this man of perdition, he takes his place. Paul goes on to explain, he takes his place in the temple of God, and he shows himself that he is God. That's verse 4. And this son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And then Paul goes on to say, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And so Paul is referring to something that he has already discussed with these people at Thessalonica. He has already discussed it. He has already taught them about it. And he said, don't you remember I told you these things when I was with you? Don't you remember that I had discussed the second coming of the Lord, and I told you about the Antichrist would be coming, and the Antichrist would take his place in the temple? And so these events that Paul is speaking about, he's already discussed with the people of Thessalonica. Well, he's reminding them, and now we know that these are great doctrinal issues that people discuss and people debate. And I want to insert in here this idea that the man of perdition has to come first. He's taking his place in the temple, but the falling away comes before this man, or about at the same time that this man steps forward and he takes his place in the temple of God and pretends to be God. And people, we know from other passages of Scripture, people all over the world are going to be worshiping this Antichrist. They're going to revere him and honor him, and he will be treated as if he is God. Well, that brings up some interesting questions and poses some interesting situations for us, because there is no temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem right now. And so a third temple or another temple will have to be built at some point in time in the future. So this man of perdition, this man of sin, can take his place in the temple. So that will be a key clue, a key piece of the puzzle when you see the temple start to be rebuilt and the temple rebuilt and finished. You'll know that the end time, then we are getting very, very close to the tribulation and to the rapture and to the events spoken of here in this passage of Scripture. And let me insert another thing here as I speak about this, that many people have different ideas about the rapture. Many people have different ideas about the second coming of Jesus. Some people believe there is no rapture. Some people believe there's only one coming one second coming of Jesus, and that is Revelation chapter 20, when Jesus comes back with the saints for the millennial reign. And so there are many people's ideas that have been put forth over the years. Many, many books have been written about it. And if you study the book of Revelation, you study the book of Daniel and Zechariah, some of the books of the Old Testament, you're going to come up with your own ideas, your own formulas, and your own formulations for how the end time events will unfold. And let me say, beloved, this is not for a point of dissension. This is not for a point of contention. We don't contend with each other on these things. We discuss, and it's okay to discuss and debate, agree and disagree, but don't get your nose up 2 inches away from somebody else's nose and start shouting about pre-tribulation rapture or mid-tribulation rapture or amillennialism or post-millennialism or all of these different things that people have put their stamp on and built their camp on these doctrinal things. Don't let this divide you from other Christians. Beloved, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, believe that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and believe that we are together, and whether the Lord raptures us out of here together or he doesn't, that is not something that we shout and scream about and get all uptight about and get high blood pressure over. We love each other. And beloved, Pastor Adrian Rogers used to say, when people were talking about end time events, and he had his ideas, he had his beliefs, he had his doctrinal stances, but he said, "I'm not on the planning committee of Jesus' return, I'm on the welcoming committee." And we should take that attitude as well. If you have a belief or a stance and a doctrinal position about end time events, about the rapture, about the tribulation, that's great, that's wonderful. Keep studying, keep praying. Maybe God will give you more revelation, and I'm sure he will, but don't get uptight about it and stay on the welcoming committee. If Jesus decides to come back and rapture out the church, you welcome him. And if he doesn't, you welcome him at the millennial reign when he comes back with the saints. And so, but my belief is what I'm teaching you today, and my belief is what I have studied over the many years and come to conclude that these events will take place in the way that I am teaching you today. So Paul goes on then in verse 6 to say, "And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time." And so he's talking about the restraining. There's some type of restraining force that is holding this man of sin, this son of perdition, that is holding him back, and is holding back the sin of the world. Well, that restrainer, obviously, is the church. And that's why Paul says that there's going to be a taking out of the church. There's going to be a departure of this church. And then this man of sin, this son of perdition, he will be revealed. And so Paul said he's going to be revealed in his own time. And then going on to verse 7, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." Well, the church, obviously, and the Holy Spirit to that extent also, but the church is obviously the restrainer of sin. It's the restrainer of evil in the world. Can you imagine what this world would be like, what the evil and the sins of people in the world would be like if it were not for the gospel of Jesus Christ, if it were not for churches spread all over the world? Can you imagine what evil would look like here on the earth? And here in Africa, we have many churches scattered across the land, and all over in Kenya, many, many churches, and they preach the goodness of God, they preach salvation, they preach deliverance, they preach all of these godly things that you know to be the Christian faith, the Christian doctrine. And can you imagine, can you even fathom what this earth would look like, what people's behavior would look like if it were not for the church and it were not for the restrainer of the sin of man here on the earth? And so Paul's saying that this mystery of lawlessness, and Jesus said in Matthew 24 that that was going to be one of the hallmarks of the end time. There would be a spirit of lawlessness, and lawlessness would prevail across the land. Well, we certainly see that happening in America. People are callous towards each other, people shooting each other, and even in America, beheading each other. Well, that's pretty common here in Africa, lynchings and beheadings. But people doing that in America as well, and terrorist attacks and wars and rumors of wars, all of this was spoken of by Jesus in Matthew 24. And now Paul reiterates here, this mystery of lawlessness is at work, and the restrainer, he is now restraining, but he will be taken out of the way. And I believe that's another veiled reference to the rapture. And then in verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Well, that's a reference to the destruction of the Antichrist after he sets up his little kingdom in the temple in Jerusalem. The Lord is going to come and destroy him with the breath of his mouth. That's Revelation 19. And destroy it with the brightness of his coming. And so the Antichrist kingdom is not going to last very long. The whole tribulation is 7 years long, as I read it in the scripture, just 7 years. And at the end of that time, the Lord is coming back with the saints. And in Revelation 19, towards the end of that chapter, it talks about the false prophet and the beast will be thrown into the lake of fire. And of course, in Revelation chapter 20, the devil himself will be thrown into the lake of fire. And so that will be the end of the devil's kingdom, and that will be the start of the millennial reign. And then after that, a new heaven, new earth, Revelation chapter 21 and 22, a new heaven and a new earth. And we will be part of it. Beloved, if you are a born-again believer and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to be first raptured out, I believe, and taken to heaven for the marriage supper of the Lamb. You're going to sit with Jesus, and you're going to sup with him with the billions of believers who have also made that confession of faith and said, Jesus, I want to know you, I want to serve you, I want to make you my Lord and my Savior. And if you are in that group, then you will be raptured out, and you will be sitting and dining with Jesus at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then you will return with him for the millennial reign, starting in Revelation chapter 20 and in verse 1. And so Paul says in verse 8 here, back to 2 Thessalonians in verse 8, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. And the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Well, we see that happening now. It's not a total fulfillment yet of the end time scenario, but we see that people are chasing signs, wonders, and miracles. We see people chasing false prophets. We see people chasing false doctrine. And there are false prophets here in Africa all over the place, people preaching all kinds of crazy doctrine. And Paul says that this satanic force, this Satan that is going to show himself, is going to be having or displaying signs, wonders, and miracles. So that will be a sign of the end times as well, that this man of perdition, this son of perdition, this man of sin, he will display all signs and lying wonders and miracles in accordance with what they had been taught. Well, we know that that is going to be something we have to look out for. Yeah, I believe God does miracles. I absolutely believe God does miracles. But you have to be careful when you're just chasing after miracles, that the devil doesn't trick you and deceive you into believing and following somebody who's not preaching the gospel, because God doesn't want us just chasing after miracles and forget about the other signs that he might show you of where these miracles are coming from. Well, I'm going to close up here today in this passage of scripture in Luke chapter 21. Jesus is talking about the end time scenario here in Luke chapter 21. And this chapter is a bit like Matthew 24. It talks about the events of the end time. And Jesus says in Luke 21, verse 27, then they will see, and I'm not going to take in the whole chapter here, I'm just going to start somewhat in the middle of it. It says in verse 27, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. And then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And then in verse 34, he wraps up this end time teaching. Verse 34, but take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. And that day, he's talking about that day of the rapture, that day when he comes back to gather up the saints. He says, don't let it come upon you unexpectedly. Don't let it come upon you as if you're walking along on a path and you walk into a snare. He says it's going to come as a snare to all those who dwell on the face of the earth, and some people are not going to be ready. Some people are not going to believe that it's coming. They're going to be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and they're not going to be paying attention to the Lord's teaching. They're not going to be paying attention to the signs that God has given them. And so in verse 36, then Jesus wraps this up and he says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Well, that's a very powerful scripture there, and that's in a very important scripture. Jesus says, you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. And I believe what he's talking about there is the tribulation, that you will be counted worthy to escape the tribulation. You will be counted worthy to be taken in the rapture. And beloved, I believe you have to extend your faith and enlarge your faith to believe in the rapture, and then you will be raptured when Jesus comes back to rapture the church. But Jesus says, believe that you will be counted worthy. Watch and pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. Well, beloved, that's where I want to be. I'm not running from anything. I'm not afraid. I've already faced lots of challenges in ministry here in Africa and in other places. I'm not a man of fear, but I believe that I will be counted worthy to escape the events of the tribulation that are spoken of in Revelation chapter 6 through 19. I believe that I will be counted worthy to escape these things, and I will be raptured out when Jesus comes to gather up the church, to gather up the restrainer, and we will be departing from this earth. Well, beloved, that is the teaching for today. Again, I say, don't get high blood pressure over that, trying to scream your doctrine at me and at other people. Just study, pray, watch and pray, and be ready, and you'll be counted worthy, as this scripture admonishes us. Be ready, watch and pray, that we can be counted worthy. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I hope you enjoy these teachings. I hope you enjoy these broadcasts coming to you weekly. We need your help, and we need your support and your prayers to continue these broadcasts. And I thank the Lord for the many years, but that's no guarantee of what's coming in the days ahead. So we ask for your support, If you feel called to support this ministry, stay tuned for contact information. And we've got a lot of good projects going in Africa, as well as this radio broadcast. And so we invite you to support this ministry. We invite your prayers. Sit down and write us out a note. Let us know you're listening. Give us a check of support, or you can follow us on PayPal or my website, and let us hear from you. Let us know you're listening, and we thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.